إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in today's short khutbah I will mention the very first hadith or khutbah even that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave when he entered the city of Medina, and I will elaborate and explain on that beautiful hadith. This hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it at the very outskirts of Medina, and it is recorded by an eyewitness by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam. This eyewitness was none other than the chief rabbi of the city of Medina. Because when the Prophet ﷺ emigrated, the majority of Medina was actually not Muslim. We have to understand, when the Prophet ﷺ is coming to Medina, perhaps 20% are Muslim, 80% of the city are non-Muslim. The bulk are non-Muslim. And there were groups of Yahud living in Medina. And their rabbi was this person by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam. And he wanted to see, what is this new message? Who is this new person claiming to be a messenger? Is he the one predicted, or is he not that one? So he says, and the hadith is in At-Tirmidhi and is authentic, I was of the first batches that greeted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, as soon as I saw his face, I recognized that this was not the face of a liar. As soon as I saw his blessed face, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I recognized that this was not the face of a liar. In other words, Abdullah ibn Salam converted simply by gazing upon the blessed face of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who can claim that type of da'wah? Who can convert people simply by the blessedness of the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There is no doubt that this is from the divine light, this is from the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even the countenance of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so holy and so blessed that a pure heart that gazed upon him, because Abdullah ibn Salam had a pure heart, he wanted to know the truth, he was sincere, that the pure heart that gazed upon him recognized that this is a man upon the truth. So he converted to Islam simply by looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, and I heard the first words that he spoke. So this is the first words that he spoke. أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وتطعموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وصلوا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلون الجنة بسلام. O people, because the message of Islam is not just for the people sitting in this room. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, O Muslims. No. The bulk of the city is non-Muslim. And the message of Islam is for them, as it is also for the people in this masjid. O mankind, O humanity, أيها الناس. So this is a message that is being delivered to all of mankind. And this message summarizes what is Islam all about. What is Islam all about? What is the real message of Islam? This message summarizes the gist of the entire religion in 4 or 5 lines. And each and every one of us sitting here today should examine our lives in the light of this one hadith. We should look at our own lives and our own contributions in light of this one simple hadith. When our Prophet ﷺ enters Medina, he wants to tell the people, what is my religion all about? What is it that I'm asking you to do? And what is it that I'm promising you will get if you do it? So he commands mankind to do 4 things. And he promises them one thing as a response to those 4. Okay? Very simple hadith. He commands mankind four things. And he says, if you do these four things, I promise you one thing in return. And our khutbah today will be an elaboration of these four points. What are these four points? Number one, afshu salam, spread the greetings of salam. Number two, tut'imu ta'am, feed the hungry, feed food to the hungry. Number three, silul arham, be good to your family. And number four, sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam, pray at night when everybody is asleep. If you do these four things, I promise, تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ, you will enter Jannah in peace and in harmony. Now, we will go over each of these four points, and I want you to understand one simple reality about this hadith. Each one of these four points actually represents a larger chapter of our religion. These points are the keys. These points are the doors that unlock much larger chapters of our religion. And these four things are the pinnacle. They are the opening, the gateway. If you can master these four, behind them are far bigger issues that each one of these four represents. Our religion of Islam is based on four characteristics that we must master. If we do it, Jannah is promised us. So what is the first of them? Number one, afshu salam. Spread the greetings of salam. Spread the greetings of salam. Now, that sounds so easy. You're promising me Jannah if I just say assalamu alaikum? Surely there must be something more than that. And of course there is something more than that. Spreading salam doesn't just mean saying assalamu alaikum. It means when you spread the greeting, you spread it from the heart and not just from the tongue. You say assalamu alaikum and you mean it. You say assalamu alaikum and you imply exactly what you are saying. You don't be a hypocrite that you say something and you don't believe it. And this first of the four, salam, represents good akhlaq, good manners, good etiquette with all whom you interact with. Why? Because salam is how we begin and how we end every single interaction with another human being. By perfecting the salam, we are perfecting our interactions with this person. Salam represents our interactions with every other person. And by perfecting the salam, we are perfecting our akhlaq. We are perfecting our manners. We are perfecting our adab. Because what does salam mean? When I come to you and I say, assalamu alaikum, and I greet you and I smile in your face, assalamu alaikum means, may no harm, may no evil, may no pain, may no suffering ever touch you. This is salam. Salam is the absence of harm. Salam is the absence of harm. So when I say assalamu alaikum, then I am wishing upon you and making dua for you and telling you, it's a wish, a dua and a statement, that I want to see you in happiness at all times. How can I say assalamu alaikum to my brother in Islam even as I am stealing his money? What type of salam am I wishing upon somebody as I stab him in the back when I backbite him? What type of salam can come from my tongue as I'm harming him in his deen and his dunya? Think about this. This is the salam of a hypocrite, not the salam of a mu'min. When our Prophet ﷺ is saying, spread the salam, spread it properly, from the qalb, not from the lisan. When I say assalamu alaikum, I am telling you, I am your brother in faith. I want nothing but good. I don't want to see you in harm. I don't want to see you in pain. How can I hurt you when I'm saying assalamu alaikum? Imagine a society where everybody is perfecting the salam. Where would evil come from? Imagine a society where everybody is wishing everybody else salam, 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 salam. Who would steal? Who would rob? Who would backbite? Who would stab you in the back? It wouldn't happen because salam has been perfected. So by spreading the salam, what is being implied is to perfect our akhlaq, to perfect our manners with one another. This is what it means to perfect the salam. This is one of the signs of Islam. A man came to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, which Islam is the best Islam? Our Prophet said that you give salams to everybody, those whom you recognize and those whom you don't recognize. Spreading salams to everybody. You know, salams are free. They don't cost you anything. But unfortunately, many of us are stingy when it comes to salam. We are in a gathering of 1,000 people, 2,000 people right now. And yet when we walk out, it's as if we're surrounded by people that we wish nothing for. Only one person in the crowd, we see him, we know him from work, we know him from our family invitations and gatherings. That is the one person. Oh, salamu alaykum akhi. Where's the rest of the ummah? How about the rest of us over here? Spread salam to those whom you know and those whom you do not know. This is a hadith. Spread salam to those whom you know and those whom you do not know. Because this is how brotherhood, sisterhood, this is how purity of akhlaq comes about. What do you lose? You make a dua. May Allah Azza wa Jal never ever show any harm upon you. May you always be in good. May you always suffer no calamity. This is what assalamu alaykum means. I wish that you are always in peace. This is what assalamu alaykum means. What a beautiful society. What a beautiful society when everybody is wishing peace upon everybody else. If a society perfects salam, guess what? Salam will exist in that society. The society itself will become a society of peace. And this is of the goals of spreading salam. So this is the first of the four. And remember, and I want you to memorize, each one of these represents a larger concept. And the larger concept for salam is what? Akhlaq and manners. Number two out of the four. وَتُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ. Feed the hungry. Feed food to the hungry. وَتُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ. Feed food to the hungry. Feeding food to the hungry is one of the basic descriptions given in the Quran to the righteous Muslim. Feeding food to the hungry is a necessary characteristic of those who believe in Allah and the final day. Do you know, dear brothers and sisters, that salah did not become obligatory upon the ummah for the first 12 or 13 years of Islam? Do you know that zakah and siyam came down 15 years after iqra? Do you know that hajj was legislated 20 years after the Prophet ﷺ began preaching La ilaha illallah? So for all of these years, there is no salah, or zakah, or siyam, or hajj. So what are the early Muslims required to do? What are the commandments upon early Muslims? What do you have to do to be a Muslim in that era when you don't have to pray, you don't have to fast, you don't have to give zakah, you don't go for hajj? Look at the first commandments. The first commandment, of course, worship Allah. Avoid idolatry. Does anybody know what was the second commandment in the Quran? It wasn't salah. Salah came much later. Zakah, siyam came a decade and a half later. Hajj, 2 decades later. What was the second commandment or the second description given of believers in the Quran? The first is La ilaha illallah, we know. Worshipping Allah. The second, open up the early Quranic revelations. Open up the 3rd, 4th, 5th surahs revealed. Open up the very first 10-15 surahs. And what is the description of a believer? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The believers are those who they give of their own food. The believers are those who give of their own food, even though they need that food. They love that food. عَلَى حُبِّهِ. They love that food. And they give it to the miskeen, the yatim, the asir, the orphan, the beggar, the prisoner of war. When this surah was revealed, this is early Mecca, there are no Muslim prisoners of war. There are no Muslim yatim at this stage in time. There are no Muslim miskeen. Allah did not tell you to give your charity and your food only to a Muslim child. What type of religion is this? That you're going to quiz the child, what is your deen, before you give him food? The religion of Islam does not tell you to give only to Muslims. When this ayah came down,
There were no Muslim yatim and Muslim prisoners of war. There was no war going on in Mecca that there be Muslim prisoners of war. But Allah Azza wa Jal says, the believer is the one who gives of his food, even though he loves that food, to those who need, regardless of their background. Hunger is a human problem, not just a Muslim problem. Anybody who's hungry deserves to be fed. And this second pillar, remember I said everything represents a bigger thing. What does feeding the hungry represent? It represents benefiting others in society. It represents what we would call social work. It represents giving back to your community. This is what it represents. Being active and engaged in any issue that deals with your community. And hunger is the most severe problem of deprivation. So when Allah says, feed the hungry, well then even more so, you have to build houses for those who don't have houses. Have shelters for those who have no shelter. Have sponsors for those who are yatim. Give clothes to those who have no clothes. Hunger is the most difficult problem. So when Allah says, take care of that, then how about all of it above that? So by emphasizing hunger, and saying, Allah is saying, eliminate hunger. There should be no hunger in your society. This means there should be nobody who is sleeping on the streets if you can afford it. There should be nobody who is no clothes and is freezing cold. There should be nobody that doesn't know where his food is going to... There should be taken care of. What did our Prophet ﷺ say? Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. 3 times he swore that that person has no iman. They said, who, O Messenger of Allah? He's destroyed. Who is this? He said, the one who goes to sleep with his stomach full and his neighbor is hungry. Neighbor, not Muslim neighbor, not this neighbor, neighbor. Doesn't matter. One of the first surahs revealed, it is said this is the 7th or 8th surah revealed in the Quran. And we've all memorized it. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Haven't you seen the one who has rejected the Day of Judgment? He's rejected Allah, he's rejected religion. Allah describes the one who has rejected religion, which means the one who believes in religion cannot be doing this. He must be doing the opposite. Allah describes the one who rejected the Day of Judgment, rejected religion. So therefore, if you believe in religion, you must be doing the exact opposite of this description. Who is the one who has rejected the religion? You all know the surah. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. This is the person, he pushes the orphan away. So if the one yukadhib pushes the orphan away, what do you think the mu'min must do? Embrace, hug, take care of the orphan. When the one who rejects deen pushes away, the mu'min must hug and embrace. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. And what's the next verse? وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. That is the one who rejects deen, who does not encourage the feeding of the hungry. Which means if you're a mu'min, what must you be at the forefront of? If you're a true believer, what cause must you support? Feeding the hungry. Brothers and sisters, let me be very frank here. Even though I am a visitor in your land and your community. But look at the rising xenophobia and racism in the Western world. Look at how much hatred is being generated against our religion. Look at the Islamophobia that is now rampant in the majority of Western countries. And even though you guys, alhamdulillah, have a political party that was on the opposite side, you do know there was a time you didn't know who would be your prime minister. And the other side, you know the rhetoric from that side. And it's not as if those people have gone away. It's not as if they are not there. There are plenty of xenophobes and racists. There are plenty who equate our religion with evil and terrorism and violence. Even though we know that is not the case. Simple question, my dear brothers and sisters. If we as the Muslim communities of these lands had become involved in what our Prophet ﷺ was involved with, if we had genuinely taken charge of the homeless, the needy, if we had been at the forefront of feeding the hungry, do you think anybody could have smeared our religion? But the fact of the matter is, Western Muslims by and large live isolationist lives. Their communities are cut off from other communities. They go to the masjid, they go home, and that's it. You must give back to the communities you happen to be living in. That is a part and parcel of Islam. This is what our Prophet ﷺ did for 40 years of his life before Iqra was revealed. What was he doing? Feeding the hungry, helping the orphan, being generous to the guest. He was known as a Sadiq and al-Amin before anybody ever called him al-Rasul and al-Nabi. He established his credentials as being an honest, dignified, true, good human being. Then when Iqra was revealed, then when La ilaha illa comes down, nobody can doubt his sincerity. But unfortunately for us, brothers and sisters, we don't understand that this is a part of our religion. To be involved in our communities, to be at the forefront of every single issue, whether it's racism, whether it is hunger and poverty, whether it is any type of oppression that is taking place, Muslims should be at the forefront. And when they're at the forefront, they don't do it because it's a PR moment. No. We don't feed food to the hungry because it's positive PR for Islam. No. We feed food to the hungry because that is the message of Islam. That is what it means to be a Muslim. Not because we want the Kodak moment and it's going to be printed in the paper. Even though if that what happens, that is a blessing from Allah. But that's not our goal. What does Allah say in the Quran? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want your thanks. We're not doing this for the Kodak moment. We're doing this because this is what it means to be a Muslim. And brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is, many of us have restricted Islam to merely the outer shell. Rituals, issues of a secondary, tertiary nature. And we assess somebody's religiosity based on only those outer shells. How about the one who feeds the hungry? Isn't he also religious? How about the one who takes care of those who have no shelter? How about the one who is involved in humanitarian work? How about the one who's helping the refugees? Wallahi, this is a part and parcel of Islam, just like the rituals. In fact, they are mentioned before the rituals. Look at this hadith. Number one, good akhlaq. Number two, social work. Then we get to number three and four. And what is number three? Wasilul arham. Be good to your family. We're still not at rituals, by the way. Rituals is number four. Rituals is mentioned at the very end. And we as a community have flipped the list around. Rituals is the end all and be all. And humanitarian work, social work, is irrelevant and ignored. It's not a big deal for us. Number four in the hadith is rituals. Not to trivialize, but because that's a private matter. Let's get to number three now. Number three, silul arham. Be good to your family. Be good to your family. How can you be a good Muslim and not be good to your family? How can you take care of strangers and not take care of the ones who depend on you? No Muslim is a good Muslim if his own wife and children despise him, because they know you better than anybody else. You can be a hypocrite to me, I can be a hypocrite to you. I can stand in front of you today, you don't know anything about who I am. But you know who does know? My family, my wife, my children. They know who I am. I can't hide from them. I can't have a double life from them. My akhlaq are shown and known to them. And that is why our Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? The best man amongst you is the one who is the best to his wife. And I am the best to my wives. You cannot be a good Muslim if your spouse despises you. If your spouse and children know the reality of who you are. How can you pretend to be high and mighty and righteous when you come home and you're a tyrant to your own family? Your akhlaq, your vulgarity, domestic abuse. What type of Islam is this? So take care of your family before you go elsewhere else. Make sure your family love you, respect you, admire you. Silul arham. Be good to your family. There's no point worrying about the world when your family itself is not taken care of through your own manners, through your own akhlaq. So number three, silul arham. And number four, last but not least. But it is last, but it's not least. Your private rituals. They're a part of Islam. Of course they're a part of Islam. You have to pray to be a good Muslim. Nobody's denying that. You have to read, you have to do the stuff, the rituals. But, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. Keep it private. You don't need to put it on your Facebook how much tahajjud you prayed. You don't need to advertise how much sadaqah you gave. You don't need to wear it on your shoulder and boast to people that you're this and that. Pray at night when everybody is sleeping. Your rituals, as much private, the better it is. Some rituals have to be public. Jum'ah is public. You cannot do anything. You have to come public. But as much as you can, keep it private. Rituals are not the end all and be all of Islam. Unfortunately, we have judged everybody's religion simply based on the rituals. And this hadith tells us there are four things. Your good akhlaq, social work, being good to your family, and having the rituals. And if we do these four, then what are we promised? تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You perfect these four, I guarantee you shall enter Jannah in salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who enter Jannah in salam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihim al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un. Wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah al-wahid al-ahad al-samad al-ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, summarizes for us the beauty of our religion of Islam. And it mentions for us these four fundamental pillars that we all have to perfect if we want to enter Jannah in salam. And this hadith is actually called, not surprisingly, the hadith of salam. This is called the hadith of salam. Why? Because it's narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam, and it begins with Salam, Afshu Salam, and it ends in Salam, Tadkhulul Jannata bi Salam. So the narrator is Salam, and it begins with Salam, and ends with Salam. And so the hadith is called Hadithus Salam. Hadithus Salam. And of course, As-Salam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? As-Salam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as-salam means the one who gives peace to everybody. Peace originates from Allah. As our Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma anta as-salamu wa minka as-salam. So Allah is as-salam. And salam comes from Allah. And that is why when we say as-salamu alaykum, we are also making a dua. As-salam, i.e. Allah alaykum, be watchful over you. May Allah protect you. That also is the meaning of as-salamu alaykum. So Allah is as-salam, and His religion is the religion of Islam. Because by believing in salam, we reach the genuine salam of the heart, which is peace. And Islam, even though it means submission, Islam means submission, but when we practice Islam, we will find salam of the heart, inner peace of the heart. So Allah is as-salam, and His religion is Islam. And Allah is calling us to a land. You know what that land is called? Wallahu yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah is calling us to a land that is called the land of salam. So Jannah is darus salam. Why is Jannah darus salam? Because in darus salam, there will be no harm, no pain, no suffering, no anger, no thirst. There will be nothing but salam. So Allah is as-salam. His religion is Islam. And He calls us to darus salam. And we are told, if we spread salam by believing in Islam and by worshipping as-salam, then we will enter darus salam. And do you know what is going to happen when the believers who truly believe in Allah enter darus salam? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامٌ سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. That is the ultimate salam that each and every one of us aims for. Those who worship as-salam and spread salam and practice Islam and want to enter darus salam will be greeted by as-salam with the greetings of salam as they enter darus salam. Because when as-salam says salam, there shall be no harm and no suffering to anyone whom as-salam blesses with the greetings of salam. And that is our ultimate goal in this whole life. What do we want? We want the salam, to grant us salam, and that will happen as we enter darus salam. But it's only going to happen if we perfect these four things by number one, spreading the salam, i.e. our akhlaq, Number two, making sure we are charitable and hospitable in social work. Number three, perfecting our families. Number four, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. We do all of this, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed us, تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنوا. اللهم لا تدع في هذه اليوم ذنباً إلا غفرته ولا همّاً إلا فرجته ولا ديناً إلا قضيته ولا مريضاً إلا شفيته ولا عسيراً إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلاً للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.